This is Cover 2, a podcast on the Cleveland Browns.
Hit! Browns are going to win!
Mayfield, Enzone, Landry, touchdown!
With Dan Kadar and Browns beat writer Nate Ulrich of the Akron Beacon Journal and Ohio.com. With Steve Dorshuk from the Canton Repository.
It's intercepted! Picked off by Denzel Ward!
Chubb will take this all the way! 92 yards!
Ready, Browns fans. Now, Cover 2, a podcast on the Cleveland Browns.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Cover 2. This is Dan Kadar, of course, joined, as always, by Browns beat writer Nate Ulrich. Nate, how have you been?
Good, Dan. How are you?
Very, very good. We are here today to talk about Nick Chubb and him getting a brand new, well-earned contract with the Browns. So that is going to be the main subject of today's podcast. That's going to lead us through basically the whole thing. But there is a ton of coverage of the Browns and training camp over at beaconjournal.com/Browns/sports/Browns. Excuse me. Really, really interesting story about Austin Hooper. That's a must-read to me. But Nate, let's talk Nick Chubb. He got the new contract. It's the first domino to fall in terms of, you know, Brown's contracts, because there was, as we've talked about many times, there's him, there's Baker Mayfield, there's Denzel Ward, and there's Wyatt Teller. As I believe you predicted, Nick Chubb was the first one to get done, and it did. 3 years, $36.6 million, and $20 million guaranteed. So that takes Nick Chubb 3 years. That takes him to before he hits 30, which is like the magic number or magic age for running backs when there's just diminishing returns in quality of play. What did you think when you heard that this was a three-year deal and it was for basically $12 million a year?
Well, I thought it made a lot of sense for both sides. The Browns didn't need to, you know, break the bank and top the market for an elite player. You know, they got him just under what Derrick Henry makes per year. You know, Henry about $12.5 million annual average, and Chubb and his new money is at $12.2 million. So Chubb comes in with the new money average as the sixth highest paid running back. And you know, you might look at it and say, well, why didn't Chubb want more? Why didn't Chubb, you know, fight for more? I just don't think that's Nick Chubb's style. And I remember talking to you about that in June when he made the comments he did about his agent talking contract extension with the Browns. And he was like, I don't like uncertainty. This is where I want to be. I know what I have here. I love it. Cleveland's where I want to be. And I think that's the way things were handled. And, you know, Chubb did speak today in Berea and listened to him, you know, talk about the contract extension, and he just echoed, you know, how happy he is, and he's relieved to have it behind him, and now he can focus on the season. You know, he said there wasn't really, you know, he didn't really like instruct his agents to get this done now, but certainly is glad that it did. And just nothing about Nick Chubb made me think that he was going to be, you know, turning offers down and you know, basically demanding to be the top paid guy. I think he realizes, you know, that he has something special here with Kareem Hunt. You know, not many running backs, certainly the other top paid running backs, can't say that they have a, you know, a guy like Kareem Hunt, a guy of that caliber to have a dynamic duo with. And Nick Chubb knows what that means. It means that the wear and tear on his legs isn't going to be what it would be in most other situations, where, you know, he's obviously going to get, you know, the bulk of the workload, but he does have Kareem Hunt to alleviate some of that. And that's a big deal for running backs when you talk about tread on tires. And so the idea that the Browns were able to get this done for what they got it done was a slam dunk on their end. And I think it made a lot of sense on Nick's end too, because he still gets a really nice payday with a lot of guaranteed money. You know, he talked today about, you know, the devastating knee injury that he suffered at Georgia in 2015. And, you know, I've written a lot about that and a couple different times talked to him about it. He tore three of the four ligaments in that knee, everything but the ACL, and had like a major reconstruction. He even posted pictures on Instagram after he agreed to the contract Saturday night, saying like, basically, look how far I've come since then. And when you kind of have that in your history, you're not going to take an opportunity like this for granted. He knows how hard he works day in and day out, and he obviously, you know, deserves to be rewarded for it. So, you know, he got rewarded for it, but it wasn't a thing where he was going to ever play the diva, you know, and, you know, tell his agent, say, you've got to play hardball. I've got to be the number one running back in the NFL. That's just not anything like his personality. But with the 3 years tacked on to the year, the final year, the final season that we're about to start here in 2021, the final season of his rookie contract, he's with the Browns under contract through the 2024 season. Like you said, Dan, by going, you know, on a 3-year extension instead of a 4-year extension, that allows him to get another bite at the apple before he turns 30. You know, he'll have turned 29 in late December of his final season under this contract extension. And again, theoretically, you know, might have, you know, a lot less tread on the tires if he's with Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt's under contract through 2022. So the Browns are set up to at least have that dynamic duo for two more seasons. Makes a lot more sense. Nick Chubb can still get, you know, an under 30 contract with a nice signing bonus, guaranteed money. Because if we know anything about Nick Chubb, he's going to keep working really hard, and, you know, he's going to continue to produce an elite level and set himself up for the future as well. So I think it just makes sense for both sides. And I think it kind of reflects the personality and character of Nick Chubb too, to just get it done and get it out of the way.
I agree. And it, like you said, it's right in line there with what Derrick Henry, Dalvin Cook, Aaron Jones, Joe Mixon, those guys are all making. And you can argue that Chubb is better than all of them, except maybe Henry. But at the same time, Henry's stats are based on usage more than anything, I think. And he is getting run to the bone. I mean, he ran the ball 378 times last year. Nick Chubb, I didn't look it up, but it's even average per game, it is nowhere close to how much wear is being put on Derrick Henry by the Titans. So, and you know, ahead of those guys, you have Ezekiel Elliott, who really suckered Dallas into a bad contract. You have Alvin Kamara and Christian McCaffrey, who are just different kinds of players. They're running back, sure, but they're more offensive weapons. So Nick Chubb is now right in line with the best pure running backs, I guess you would call them, in the NFL. So that to me, Nate, kind of says, like, I don't want to say any contracts are easy, but he's right in there. So I think it was easy. An easy contract for the Browns, an easy contract for Nick Chubb, because to me that's the 3-year part of that, and the $20 million guaranteed. I think those are the two biggest parts for him. So this strikes me as a fairly easy contract. The other ones that are coming up that I mentioned earlier are not, and that is Denzel Ward, Baker Mayfield, and figuring out Wyatt Teller. Out of those guys, now that Chubb's done, who's next?
I think it's going to be Denzel Ward, and the reason why is I always go on what just makes the most sense, because for really the most part, and maybe just all the time, that's what Andrew Berry has done since he's become Browns GM. And that was my basis for Chubb getting done first. And when we've talked about in the past, I've said, like, if you look at the shot clock, so to speak, on these contracts, like, Chubb's shot clock is closer to zero than the other ones. I mean, I'm just talking about the main three, the top priorities of Chubb, Denzel Ward, and Baker Mayfield. Denzel Ward and Baker Mayfield are under contract through the 2022 season because they are first round picks and they had their fifth year options exercised by Andrew Berry in April. Chubb was an early second round pick, so no fifth year option for him. So therefore, he was scheduled to become a free agent this coming March. So the shot clock was ticking down farther, faster, whatever, closer to zero for him. Had to get it done. There was more urgency, or else he's going to hit the open market. So Andrew Berry, just being very logical and very smart, got that one done first. And you're right, I do think it was relatively easy the way it panned out for both sides. I think Ward is next because Ward and Chubb in June said, yeah, that their agents were in contact with the Browns and their contract extension talks had already begun. You know, we talked to Andrew Berry before one of these practices at training camp in Berea last week, and I forget the days because they all blur together for me when we're in camp. But recently, Andrew Berry talked, and I asked him many questions about Baker Mayfield. Of course, he stuck to his code, and that's not to publicly discuss contracts, but certainly continue to say the things that you say about a quarterback who you want to extend. But I also found out that those extension talks have not started. There haven't been meaningful discussions about a contract extension between the Browns and Baker Mayfield. So I know that Chubb and Ward started this offseason, and both guys said it on the record in June. I just think that they're farther along in the Denzel Ward talks than they are in the Mayfield talks, which, again, in earnest, have not even begun. So I think that it is going to be Denzel Ward who's next. And the other thing with the Baker Mayfield piece of this is obviously everyone involved is watching, and it's kind of a game of chicken, I believe, as you described it before, Dan, with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. So it is the most complicated of the high-priority contract extensions that we're discussing with the Browns and Andrew Berry and how everybody's viewing this. Therefore, I think it will be done last of the three. I still think it's going to happen. I just don't know when. The timing I thought would probably be before the season for a long time, but now in my latest round of checking into it and finding out that here we are in training camp and it hasn't started yet, I mean, unless it goes from 0 to 60 like next week, or they really start heating things up out of nowhere, I just kind of think that it's going to go into the season and that it won't, you know, be a camp deal. I think that getting Nick Chubb done in camp obviously clears the way for the next one, and I predict it'll be Denzel Ward.
Well, he's the quarterback, so we have to stick on this for a little bit quickly here. Do you think this is any instance? I know we have the game of chicken thing, and I know we have the order of when we think these players are going to be signed. And I agree, Ward next. But with Mayfield, do you think any part of it is him having absolute confidence in his ability and just betting on himself for another season? Do you think that's playing into it at all with him?
No, as far as the contract talks not starting, no, I think it's the Browns order of things, like the sequence in which Barry wants to get it done. I think he looks at this and says, okay, Mayfield, okay, it is going to be the most complicated of these ones we want to get done. It's going to set a record for our franchise. It'll be the largest, most lucrative contract we ever give or have given. And there's Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and all that. So let me start with Nick Chubb. Let me get that one done. Let me get that knocked out because he is the guy whose contract will expire the soonest. And he is a key cornerstone piece of the franchise, a guy who embodies everything we want to be. Like we've talked about, Dan, zero off-field baggage, all work, all character, you know, tough, smart, accountable to a T. He's the guy you want to reward. And, you know, we've talked a million times about this too. Hey, the analytics community usually isn't into to paying lucrative contracts at the running backs. But guess what? He's an elite running back, and he transcends his position with all the intangible stuff. Kevin Stefanski said it today. Kevin Stefanski confirmed these thoughts and said, yeah, he does think it sends a good message when you to the other guys in the locker room when you reward a guy who does all the right things, and that's Nick Chubb. Andrew Berry, you know, called him the soul of the team today when they announced the signing in a news release. So, yeah, it just made all you know, the sense in the world for those reasons. And with Mayfield, I just think that there's a lot of factors at play, and there are less hurdles to clear with him than with Denzel Ward. So that's why I think Denzel Ward comes next, and why the talks started with Ward and Chubb, you know, back in the spring, and have not started with Mayfield yet. I don't think it's a Mayfield slow playing this thing situation. I think it's a Browns, you know, and how they're going about this thing.
So do you think, you know how this fan base is, and you know how players are amongst themselves. Do you think it's problematic at all if Mayfield doesn't get done for quite some time? You know, does it become an issue for the fan base, you know, where you start questioning, you know, if Baker Mayfield struggles for a little bit, you know, and he doesn't have the new contract, does that start a uproar from the fan base? Like, hey, maybe this isn't the guy and we don't have to worry about the contract. Do you think it becomes a problem in the locker room at all? If Baker Mayfield doesn't get a contract, you know, say by the middle of the season or something, and both sides just say, hey, let's just do this after the season. Let's come back to this after the season, which is a thing that happens often in sports, where contract negotiations are just cut off so both sides can focus on the games. Do you think it's an issue if a Baker Mayfield contract doesn't happen sooner than later?
I don't think it's going to be. Maybe that's just a really optimistic view. I mean, because obviously things can get weird with contract situations. I've seen it before, but, you know, I just think that both sides know that they want this partnership to be long term and that they're comfortable with that. And I think Kevin Stefanski is really good at communicating with his players. And I think Andrew Berry is really good at communicating with players and agents. So I don't think these guys are going to let this get dysfunctional. I just don't. I mean, they haven't. This with so many Browns regimes that were nothing but dysfunctional. These guys haven't been like that. They've been the opposite. So I'm just going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And Mayfield has said all the right things. And, you know, I think that there's comfort there, that they know that they want to get it done. So I just don't sense any anxiety or panic from him when he talks about it. I think there are a bunch of reasons for it. You know, some of the reasons I think were, one, he knows they want to get other guys done, and he knows Nick Chubb was one of them. I think he was very happy for Nick Chubb, was one of the teammates who congratulated him like instantly on Twitter. He knows Denzel Ward, you know, they want to get him done. Those are his draft classmates, and he knows Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson play a role in this whole thing. He knows he's surrounded by a ton of weapons and crazy continuity that's like very, very rare in the NFL, and the coaching staff with the playbook, with the personnel on offense, and like he's set up for success. So like he has no doubt in his mind that he's going to be even better than last year and just continue to position himself even better if it doesn't get done, you know, before the season or early in the season. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if these talks, like I've been writing for a while, are into the season. But I'm just telling you right now that they haven't really begun in a meaningful way yet. And if they are into the season and Mayfield comes out red hot and the Browns are 5-0 or 4-1 or something like that, I wouldn't be surprised if it's an early season. You know what I mean? Like sometime in the, you know, October range, you know, early fall thing, it could get done then. So, yeah, I'm not looking at this with doom and gloom, Dan. And your question about the fans, they might, maybe the scars of the past will catch up to a lot of people. But I hope that they kind of view it through the lens that I'm viewing it through. And that's that Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski have shown us nothing but like ultra competency so far. And so like until something changes along those lines, I don't think it's time to freak out.
I do want to ask you about one more contract real quick. Paul DePodesta, he signed a 5-year extension last year. Browns owner Jimmy Haslam revealed that during training camp. Am I crazy thinking that's just as important as any of these players getting these contracts? Because, man, I know when the Browns were going through 1-31, it was, what the hell does Paul DePodesta even do? How could he know anything about football? And all that stuff. I know I was asking those questions. And now it's, you know, Paul DePodesta is almost like the hand of gold, or everything he touches. How important is it that the Browns are going to have this guy around for 5 years?
Well, this isn't like a commercial for me, but I'm just going to tell you what happened when the Haslams talked on Saturday. I asked him about Paul DePodesta's contract, and that's when Jimmy Haslam revealed that DePodesta had signed this extension last year, and he said it aligns with the other guys. I said, you mean that it's a 5-year deal just like Stefanski and Berry got? And he said, yes. That makes all the sense of the world. That's what we did. And they, you know, he and Dee raved about Paul and how smart he is. And I also asked them about Nick Chubb and how much he means to the organization as he enters the final year of his deal, and how he's the star with the contract that would expire the soonest. And they raved about Nick Chubb and how great he is, but said the rest is in Andrew Berry's court. Well, Chubb, hours later, agrees to the contract extension. So I felt like, wow, I'm glad that we talked about that. It would have been cool if they had said, like, yeah, we're working really hard like this, like to get something done here in the next few hours, so don't drive home while this breaks, like, because that's what happened to me. And then, like, it also would have been cool if, like, a year ago they would have told us about Paul DePodesta instead of, you know, just Saturday. So, like, we learned about a year-old contract extension from them on Saturday and then didn't get the heads up that hours later Chubb was going to be extended. So it was, like, a really weird, like, Twilight Zone contract extension talk. But the bottom line is we got information about both of them, even though they're a year apart. But Paul DePodesta is really important, obviously. And yeah, like the bottom line is he did the teardown and he talked about tearing it down in the studs after the fact. And they went 1-31, as we all know, and built it back up. But the crazy part about it is like the Haslams fired Hugh Jackson, Freddie Kitchen, Sashi Brown, and John Dorsey. They kept Paul DePodesta through all of it. But I always wondered if he was just going to go back to baseball one day, because things were bad for a long time here. And he was like, you know, right in the thick of it. And this was his vision to a large extent. But it turned and he stuck with the Haslams and they stuck with him long enough. And, you know, they had their little secret extension they did last year. And to line up with these guys that they finally let him hire. Right. And that's the big point I'm trying to make. Like, they finally let the chief strategy officer be the chief strategy officer with like a real say in the organization. Remember, like, he wanted Sean McDermott. Well, they hired Hugh Jackson. Like, that's a famous story, right? Like, so they basically let Paul DePodesta, hey, he led these searches that led to Stefanski and Berry's hiring, and they were his guys and they went with his choices finally. And so I think it's really important to remember in the whole story of the Browns and how they turned it around is like they did have this genius guy. Yeah, he was from baseball and he had a lot to learn in the NFL. It was historically bad under the first couple seasons he was aboard, but really when you listen to him, you finally hired the right people. And now he has contract extensions that align with them. And so, yeah, I think that was a really big deal. And even though the extension happened a little more than a year ago, Dan, like, I thought it was a big deal and I put a headline on it.
Yeah, I think it's a huge deal. I have not taken such an extreme 180 on a person in regard to football as much as I have on Paul DePodesta. I know he doesn't talk a lot, talked around draft time, as I recall. I know he's a very private dude. I know he doesn't really come to Berea. He works from home. So there's a little more mystery in Paul DePodesta and what he does and that. But his fingerprints are all over what the Browns are becoming. So
yeah,
I thought that was a great move by the Haslams, even if we did find out about it a year late. But that's okay. It's done.
Yeah. And we tried back when they hired Stefanski and Barry and talked to Jimmy about it and talked to Paul about it and hadn't gotten done at that point. And then just talking to Paul so few and far between. And same with the Haslams, really. They talk like twice a year. You know, it took a while for them to go on the record with it. They never put out a contract extension announcement or anything like that. And like, it's pretty rare when Adam Schefter doesn't like tweet something about a big deal like this. So yeah, it was a complete secret for like a year, but we finally got it out of Jimmy on the record. And, you know, he did say it was a 5-year deal with just like the other guys got. And so now you should have this team in place that gets along for the first time in a long time. You got this, you know, trio at the top of the organization. And Jimmy and D, I asked him, are these guys, because they talked so much about alignment when they were trying, because they had so much infighting. They were really trying to get the alignment right because they hadn't done that. Kept swinging and missing with that. And there was all this dysfunction and power struggles, and we know all of them. But, yeah, since they bought the team in 2012, it was like that. So they were really – that was the key word, alignment. That's what they wanted in these latest head coaching and GM hires. And Jimmy said that Paul, Andrew, and Kevin worked together even better than he thought he would, and Dia echoed it. So, you know, obviously, you know, going 11-5 and making the playoffs for the first time in 18 years as a franchise in their first season together, you know, that's going to help, right? That's going to help the relationship. You know, the honeymoon period gets extended out, you know, a couple of years, you know, when you kick things off that way. But, yeah, like, you've got to have faith in them, and they got to be, the Haslam's got to be feeling really good right now about the decision to give them all 5-year contracts and see what they can really do, because this team does seem positioned for a lot of great things and not just like a flash in the pan, but they seem like they're built to have that sustained success that so many regimes have talked about, but not even come close to achieving.
So true. Anything else this week? Again, like I said at the top, we were talking contracts on the podcast this weekend. We had to keep it kind of short just because of work stuff, but other work stuff, I should say. This is also work stuff. But, Nate, anything else? There's a ton of stuff up on the site now. Again, it's beaconjournal.com/sports/Browns. Anything else you want to hit on quickly?
Well, I'll just say that training camp hasn't been boring, but it hasn't been, you know, crazy eventful, because in the new CBA, there's a 5-day on-field acclimation period. So, like, we're just getting out of that now. And, you know, Marla Reitenauer is covering today's practice for me on Monday. We're recording this Monday afternoon just as practice is getting underway. And I'll be back out there Tuesday. But I've been in every day, and you know, thus far to begin camp. And, you know, it just, there hasn't been a ton of, you know, action, because they haven't been in pads yet. They haven't been live hitting. They've been ramping things up, and that's on purpose. And, you know, I think that we're going to learn a lot more about the team here in the next week to 2 weeks. And then we can get into more of kind of the on-field action, camp developments in another pod. Because, frankly, right now, there hasn't been, you know, a ton that we didn't really see in that 3-day window of mandatory minicamp. So that's kind of where we're at right now. The biggest story of camp so far are kind of the things we just touched on. You know, the Haslam's talking, Andrew Berry talking, Nick Chubb extension, finding out about the old Paul DePodesta extension. So I'll leave it at that, Dan. We can catch up with more football later.
Absolutely. Next week we will talk about more what the happening is in Berea, who's hitting who, if we're seeing any separation at all, or if Nate's seeing any separation, I should say, in some of these training camp battles. Much, much more. Look, we cover the Cleveland Browns like nobody else. So please check it out. Please read it. BeaconJournal.com/sports/Browns for that. Thank you very much for listening to Cover 2 this week. We will talk to you next time.